Shadow Sisters tells the true story of author Shelley Davido's upbringing during apartheid in South Africa. It's a story of a family and how powerful racial divides during and immediately after the regime were and are to this day. The Wire's Rachel McDonald spoke to Shelley about the multiracial family behind the book.
My family was a really unique and amazing family, because during apartheid, where white people, black people and brown people, every skin colour was segregated across the whole nation, my family had people living with us who were black, and started out with an older lady who came to live with us, and then her granddaughter who came to live with us, who ultimately became part of our family. And it's that story of us just living what we wanted to be, a normal family life in this crazy society where it was illegal for black and white people to live together under one roof.
Now, one of the things that surprised me was to find out that apartheid was based on early white Australian treatment of our Indigenous people. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
The legislation that became the legislation that was known as apartheid was actually based on the 1897 Aboriginal Protection Act. It was the Queensland Aboriginal Protection Act. And yeah, I did some reading about that, and it's uncanny that once that legislation was out there and South African politicians saw it some decades later, they thought, yeah, here's the groundwork for what we want, and this will keep everybody in their place. And so they just took it on board and used it.
So how similar do you think the stories that you've heard from perhaps Indigenous Australians are to the stories that you've seen in South Africa?
There's a very tragic and common theme, and I suppose what was different in South Africa was that South Africa is now a post-colonial country, so the Indigenous people run the country, or, you know, that's arguable because the Indigenous people were really the bushmen, the sand. But Australia never had that, so Australia's still a colonial country, and so in that sense it's very different. But the suffering imposed on Indigenous people by a colonial regime is so similar that the stories of stolen children and massacres and disenfranchisement and all of that, it's all exactly the same, and it's in living memory of so many people.
Now, South Africa has been discussed in Australian politics recently, with Peter Dutton wanting priority status for white farmers he says are facing violence. How did hearing that make you feel?
That was very distressing for many reasons. Well, first of all, I don't believe that anybody who is desperate to be rescued should be refused rescue. However, if you rescue white people and not black people, or you rescue white people while you send black people back to terrible countries where they will be killed, that's so racist that it just makes me nauseous. You know, there's so many groups of people in South Africa who are in danger. Farmers are one of them, but farm workers, children living in townships, every night people who go to bed in areas that are dangerous and not secure, they're also in danger. So I feel like it's very dodgy to say we'll rescue white people because they're white and they speak English and they're like us.
As a teen, your guilt over what you considered to be your white privilege manifested itself in an eating disorder. Can you tell me a bit about that?
What happened to me when I was about 15 is I got measles and I got very, very sick, and I got thin, and I was quite chubby before, and people used to tease me. And then when I came out of that illness and I wasn't fat anymore, I looked at myself and I just thought, I don't want to be a fat white teenager in a country where so many people and so many children are starving. I don't want to represent that. So I thought, why should I eat? Just because I can doesn't mean I should. And so I became anorexic, and it was quite dangerous. My mother at the time was working in Alexandra Township. She'd started a little school there with her black and white colleagues, and she was seeing atrocious things every day. So the conversation around our dinner table, the political was very much the personal. And so my personal starvation became almost a statement of, well, I can't control anything that's out there, but I can control myself and what I put in my mouth and whether I become a fat, white, spoiled teenager or not. I think that was connected. And of course, I see that in retrospect. At the time, it was like an act, the only act that I could do, that I had control over.
There's a strong theme throughout your book of this idea of a rainbow nation, the perfect multicultural society. How far away do you think we are now compared to when you were growing up?
On a broad scale, I think the further you zoom out, the more muddy it looks, because there's so many terrible things as well that the rainbows, I think, you just get squashed. And if you look at South African politics since Mandela, really, I would say that it's very difficult to see a rainbow in what's happening back there. I don't see much hope and vision and transformation or transformative thinking. The stuff that we dreamt of just prior to Mandela's release. And when he came out, I think that was a sort of golden, euphoric age where the hope kept us together. But I don't want to discount that rainbows are still falling everywhere in small ways, and people do incredible things in South Africa, which are exemplary.
They do. Shelley Davidow, she's the author of Shadow Sisters, and she spoke to The Wire's Rachel McDonald. Shadow Sisters is published by University of Queensland Press.